Hi guys. Actually, we're not going to do that. I don't know what happened to my voice.
Hi guys, you're about to listen to our second episode. But first, we wanted to remind you that we want to hear your questions and stories about social life, academics, and anything else related to the teenage experience.
Now that we've started releasing episodes, we're going to try to respond to those questions when we can. We'd also love to hear ideas, suggestions, feedback, and advice.
You can find contact information in the show notes. Now, here's the show.
Hi, and welcome to the Human Equation Podcast, a show about being a teenager in the 21st century. I'm Benjamin.
And I'm Darshini.
Today, we'll be listening to a story sent in by a very close friend of mine.
She'll be talking about why her best friend means so much to her.
Tess, take it away.
So, I met my very first best friend, or rather, our mothers met at playgroup when I was 10 weeks old. And our mothers were super excited because we'd been born about 2 weeks apart, and they didn't really know many people with kids around the same age yet, because they were new moms. And my best friend's name is Benjamin, and Benjamin is the host of this show. I lived pretty far away from him when our parents first met. I was visiting my grandma up near where we live now. So we lived kind of far away, but we kind of kept coming back to each other whenever I would come to visit my grandma. And then eventually I moved in with my grandma, and we still live with my grandma to this day. And yeah, Benjamin is really close to my house. I ride my bike over to his house all the time. And though we've had fade-ins and fade-outs over our lifetime because we don't go to the same school, and we really don't see each other that much during the school year. We see each other, like, mostly in the summer because we're on the same swim team, but we still just bring joy to each other, and when we talk to each other, it's like we've never left off the conversation because he's always there to talk to me and to lift me up and to tell the truth, even when it hurts, and sometimes that's the hardest thing to do is to just tell someone the truth, even if it's not what they want to hear, and that's something I'm so grateful for Benjamin. Because he's just brought that to my life. You know, like, maybe this relationship might be unhealthy. He would tell me that kind of thing. Or, you know, and maybe I was like, well, I'm just so desperate to have a friend. Because, like, in elementary and middle school, I really struggled with having a lot of friends. And so I would just kind of stick with whoever would stick with me. And so he would tell me, that's not okay. Like, those people are not okay. And so I'm thankful to this day for that. He also sticks with me on holidays, man. We hang out, we spend a lot of holidays together, and those chess games we play on holidays are always fun. And there's just so much fun stuff we've done together over the years. We ride bikes a lot, we talk about school, and we just talk about life. And we can talk about other friends that we don't really know from each other's schools, and we don't really get judged on them. Like, we can say, like, stuff, real stuff about our friends that we feel. And sometimes if we're having a struggle with a friend, we can talk to each other about it. And because we don't really know the other person involved, it's kind of like getting a opinion that is, like, non-biased. And it's great. It's really kind of a nice friendship. It's one of the friendships I think I value most in my life. Because there's a lot of friendships that I feel like, you know, I see you every day. You know, we kind of run out of things to talk about. But with Benjamin, it's never that way. It's never been that way, and it probably will never be that way. And I hope I never, ever lose my friendship with him, ever, because it's one of the most beautiful friendships I've ever had. So thank you for listening to my story, and I hope you will stick with your friends that are real friends for as long as you can, because those people are the people that are gonna stay with you for your life, and they're gonna lift you up.
The Human Equation will be right back.
Hi guys, Darshini here. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. Before we move on to the general discussion segment, I wanted to ask you for a quick favor. Our goal with this podcast is to share useful ideas and advice that makes life a little easier for our listeners. But we can't do that if nobody's listening. Word of mouth is the best way for us to grow our audience, which is why we're asking you to support the show by sharing it with your friends and maybe even posting a link to it on social media. You can also leave us a review if your podcast player supports that, or send us feedback using the contact information in the show notes to help us make the podcast more appealing to potential listeners. And now, back to the show.
Okay, so Ben, when I first started listening to this story, I was like, oh, this story is so cute already. And then Tess goes, my best friend, Benjamin. And the first thing I thought was, wow, what a coincidence. I know a Benjamin too. And I just thought it was really funny that she ended up talking about you. I did not see that coming.
So I think one of the things I like about my friendship with Tess is that we really can just talk to each other. And it's nice to have that person that I can ask for advice and just share what's going on in my life. And I don't have to worry that it's going to offend someone or upset someone because we don't know each other's friends. And sometimes it's good to have that person who maybe isn't a huge part of your life all the time, but they're a really close friend. And that means you can talk to them about things that are going on in your life without worrying about impacting the people that are involved.
There's like two different types of people, okay? Some people who will go and tell like their closest friend about something that happens, right? Whether they're in the same friend group or not, whether they know the friend that you might be talking about. And there's also people who will go and tell someone who's completely unrelated to the whole thing.
I think there's also some times where, talking to someone who is in the friend group is a good idea because they have that perspective that maybe someone outside of the friend group doesn't have. And while they do have existing opinions about people, they also know what's going on in the friend group, and they really do need the kind of the needs of everyone when it comes to solving disputes and stuff like that. So I think there are definitely cases where that's a good idea too.
Yeah, definitely. But for the most part, I think if you can keep some kind of an argument between you and your friend, like the less people that know, the better it is, because more people very often means more drama. Like communication when you're having an argument with someone is so important. And what I mean by that is like talking in person and not over text, because text messages can get so misinterpreted so easily. And yeah, just keeping it simple and in between two people, unless it goes to a larger scale and you're not sure what to do. And so another thing I think is that if you've had an argument with someone, I think you should step back for a little bit. You know, if you had some kind of argument in school, you were talking there, and you're on the bus or you come back home, like, don't go back and reach for your phone and call them or text them. Because I think it's important that you give yourself some time to think about what happened and think about it not just from what happened to you, but also what you said to them and what happened to them and how what you said impacted them. And when you give yourself some time to think about what happened, you'll be able to respond to it better. Because in that moment, you're flooded with emotion and not reason. So it's very likely that whatever you say immediately after whatever happened isn't something that you would say had you given yourself some time to think about it.
I just want to reiterate that humans are social creatures and relationships are really the main factor in our lives. They're the things that we remember. They're the things that are most meaningful to us. And they're the things that'll get us through times when we really don't have anything else to go on. So I think it's important to remember in every case that there's a really good chance that the friendship itself is a lot more important than whatever happened, and that your goal should always be to save the friendship. And sometimes that does mean maybe even saying that you were wrong, even if you feel like you weren't, and just trying to understand it from the other person's point of view. Even if you disagree with that point of view, it doesn't mean it's not a valid point of view. And that's something I think people forget a lot.
I think it is important that if you truly value a person and value their friendship, sometimes it's okay to admit, oh, I was wrong, even if you don't think you are wrong, because you have to think about the bigger picture here. In trying to hold on to your own pride, you're about to lose someone who means a lot to you, and I don't think that's worth it. You know, another thing that I think Tess really covered in her story was what she values in a friendship. You know, she was saying that you're always there to talk to her, to lift her up. And the most important thing to me in her story was when she said that you're always there to tell her the truth, even when it hurts. And I think that's really, really important in a friend too, obviously you want someone who makes you feel happy, but at the same time, you want someone who's going to improve your character and make you a better you. And that means telling you when you're wrong and telling you the truth, like she said, even if it's hard to do and even if it's something you don't want to hear. It's important to have someone who can say that to you.
And I think another key factor in a close friendship is when you're able to understand when the other person needs to hear something nice versus when they want to hear the truth, and when they're open to maybe hearing that advice for self-improvement. Because there are definitely cases where I know that telling someone the truth would just upset them, and it wouldn't have that big of an impact on their character that it's worth it. And as a friend, one of your jobs is to be there and support the other person, and sometimes that does mean telling them what they need to hear. And it also means recognizing when they're open to that advice that maybe they won't like, but will be helpful to them in the long run.
I'm glad I was not the only one who struggled with making friends in elementary and middle school. Like, I listened to her say that, and I was like, oh, I can relate. Ma'am, I need to meet you.
I mean, I had no friends in either elementary school or middle school. I had one close friend in middle school and a bunch of fake friends that I thought I was very close with, but I was not. And then elementary school, everyone hated me, so I had no social skills. It was wonderful.
When I was I can't say that I was completely friendless in elementary school. Like, in school, I had basically no friends, I guess. But I did have 3 very close friends. None of them were in my grade. We were all a year apart. And we did everything together. Like, we would hang out at each other's houses. We all lived in the same apartment complex. So after school, we'd walk over to each other's houses often, go shopping. We literally would, like, walk into each other's closets and be like, oh, I like this shirt, I'm taking it now. Oh, I like this book in your bookcase, I'm taking it now. Parties, any kind of events outside, it would always be the 4 of us together. And, I mean, that was really nice. And when we grew older, we were able to talk about our past together, and we would laugh about it. We enjoyed our present, and we talked about the future often, too. I mean, we had plans. As soon as the oldest of us turned 16, we were all like, oh, we're going to go on a road trip. You know, once the oldest of us gets their license, we're all going to go to the mall and hang out. And I've made some really good memories with them. Like, half of my family photo album, it's all pictures of me and them. And then our parents kind of had a falling out. My family drifted apart from their families, and I really hoped at the time, I did not see any change between us. I thought, I mean, we're people who aren't our parents, so it shouldn't matter what happens to them. We still have this bond that we've had since we were kids, right? And that, unfortunately, just was not the case. I do still think about the times that we shared together, obviously, because I know so many people who are still really close with their childhood friends. And whenever they share those kind of stories, you know, obviously I can only think of the people who were in that role for me. But I definitely don't regret, like, all the times we shared together. You know, like, we all did dance together. And aside from my personal love for dance, you know, just the fact that I could look forward to practices not only being me dancing, but me dancing with them. Like, they were in the background of everything that I loved as a kid. So I can't really think about my childhood days without thinking of them. So naturally, I don't regret anything that happened, and I don't feel sad looking back on it. But everything that happened between my parents and their parents, and everything that happened between myself and them, it taught me so much about friendship. And the important thing to me is that it taught me to value the friends that I have at school, because they really are the people who are closest to me. And because of everything that happened with them, I've grown to appreciate them so much more. So I take that positively.
And I think whenever you're able to look back on a past friendship in a positive way, even though it has ended, I think that's a very good sign that you were very close friends, and that even the end of the friendship couldn't ruin that. I mean, I think that's a pretty powerful thing, because the end of a strong friendship is a very powerful event. And when you're still able to look beyond that and see what was good about it, that's, I think, a really good indicator that it was a very strong friendship.
So, Ben, how do you generally approach an argument with a friend?
So, honestly, what I usually do is what you're not supposed to do, because I often go talk to other people in the friend group, not because I'm trying to gossip or start drama or anything, but an argument with a friend can be a scary thing, and I think sometimes I just default to going to the people who I know best and the people who are available right then and there. And usually those are people in the friend group. And yes, I know people like Tess are around for me, but sometimes in the moment, it's hard to remember that. And I think that's something I need to be better about, is remembering that when you talk about it with other people in the friend group, even though it can kind of ease the immediate fear about the friendship, in the long run, it can actually make it harder to resolve. I think it's better to go to people who have a relationship with you, like I have with Tess, where you maybe don't see each other every day, but the person knows you and knows what you need and really just knows what to say to you that'll make things better and help you figure out what you need to do about the situation.
Going back to what I said before, if you're having an argument with your friend, keep it simple, keep it small, and just remember that communication is key. One of my quote-unquote pet peeves, I guess, when it comes to an argument, is when people give the cold shoulder. Like, I know earlier I said, give yourself some time to think about it, but this is deliberately going out of your way and avoiding what happened and avoiding the person. And I think that doesn't help resolve anything. Like, if you have an argument, unless you both agree, like, oh, you know what, it's fine, let's forget about it. If you don't resolve something somehow, that still lingers. Like, it still happened, and it's still loose ends that you guys never tied up. So whatever you do, don't give people the cold shoulder, because A, that doesn't solve anything for you, and B, it is very likely to make the other person either sad or angry. And I have been both sad and angry at people who have given me the cold shoulder. How do you respond when a friend comes to you about a problem with another friend and you happen to know that other friend?
I think the first thing I try to do is just kind of getting a sense of how it's affecting the dynamic between those two people. Sometimes acting as a mediator would be helpful, and sometimes that's the role that you need to play. And there are other times where if you bring it up with the other person, it's just going to make things worse. So you really need to understand how both people are feeling about the situation. And you need to, from there, know what your role is. Because sometimes they're just looking for you to comfort and support them. Other times they need your advice. And other times you would be very helpful as a mediator. And that would really, in the long run, help the friendship. So I think it's important to understand what people are looking for when another friend comes to you for help. And just, from there, you know the person, you know what's best for them. Go with your instinct, go with what you want to say, and then just go from there. They're going to be happy that you're trying to help and support them. Don't worry about what you're saying and the long-term impacts on it. Just say what you feel like you need to say and go from there, because our brains are designed to deal with this social stuff, to figure it out subconsciously and then make these decisions for us. So we inherently know what to do in a lot of these situations, and we just need to not worry about it and just really say what we're thinking and say what we think needs to be said.
Going back to your point on knowing what role you have to play, that's definitely something I've struggled with in the past. Like, this whole year has been me hearing a lot of things about people's problems with their friends. It's been a whole year of just really thinking about friendships for me, because a lot of people tend to come to me about these things, people who I am close with, people who I'm not super close with. And so that whole time, I've always felt that I should do something about it. And that's what I've always done. Like, I always have played the role of a mediator. And recently, I tried doing that again. One friend said something that made one of my friends a little bit upset. She came up and she told me about it. And I was like, okay, well,
I know the character of the person who said the somewhat hurtful thing, and I know he's a guy who's agreeable, and if I told him, like, oh, you made her feel kind of bad, he'd be like, oh, I'm sorry that that happened, you know, and everything would be fine. So, yeah, I went and I was like, you said this thing, it made her feel kind of bad. She came and told me about it, and so I feel because she came and told me about it, it must be something she's still thinking about and is kind of holding in her heart. So you might want to talk to her about that. And so he was like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And he texted her. She texted back, and she was like, I just don't know what you're talking about. And even though I kind of actually know what you're talking about, I really don't care. And later she went to me, and she was like, you didn't have to do that. Created unnecessary drama. And at the moment, I was like, wait, what? Really? Like, I don't see it that way. But now I do. You know, you don't always have to be playing the role of a mediator. You don't have all the answers, and your friend isn't going to expect that you have all the answers. That's not always why they're coming to you. Most of the time, when a friend tells you something, they're just looking for someone to listen to them. They're not looking for advice. They're not looking for someone to solve their problems, unless they specifically say that. People usually just want someone to put a hand on their shoulder and look into their eye and say, it's going to be okay, and I'm here for you. And I'm happy to say that I've been able to learn that this past year.
Knowing what role to play is definitely something I've also struggled with. I definitely have an issue where I tell people too much and share too many things. And it's usually legitimately out of trying to be helpful. I mean, I think part of it is just as a person, I feel this need to help people a lot of the time. And sometimes I feel like that isn't always a great thing, because sometimes in trying to do that, I get too involved and try to be helpful in places where people maybe don't want my help. And that's something that I've been working on, is knowing when people want my help and accepting that that's not always the case. People sometimes want to deal with stuff on their own, and it's not a reflection on how they feel about me or even my ability to help them. It's just people don't always want to share things. And that's just something I've struggled with.
On the note of knowing when to help people, when someone does come to you for help, whether they're your friend or not, it's your job to help them. It's the most that any of us would expect, too. If we were having some kind of problem, we look to our friends, we look to the people who we care about to help. And I can't think of anything worse. Like, within a friendship, when you go to someone for help and they're like, oh, sorry, I can't. Like, there's a difference between not knowing what to do and just being like, I don't want to help you, you know? Like, that's something that really hurts. And I can't say that I've never done that to someone, you know? Like, I probably have, but I'm saying that it's something to avoid. Like, if a friend calls you late at night and they're asking to talk to you, then you talk to them. You know, like, as a friend, it's your job to be there for them all the time and not just when it's convenient for you. But at the same time, it's important not to let their problems get to your head. Like, you have to take care of yourself, too. And if it's not your own problem, get involved enough to help them, but don't make it your problem as well.
So this is another thing that I don't do great at, because I've definitely gotten yelled at before because I'm completely done with my homework. It's midnight and I am planning to stay up for the next hour just to talk to someone who needs it. So I definitely struggle with finding that balance. I think it's good to be there for people, but you can't be there for them if you're not doing great yourself. So I think let them know that you're there. Let them know that you want to help them, but also make sure you're getting what you need to sleep, food, and time to get your work done. And everyone has a couple extra minutes where you can find time to talk to that person, give them the support they need.
And don't let a relationship with one friend ruin your other relationships as well. If you're upset with one friend, don't let that stay on your mind when you're talking to another friend. See, our different relationships affects our other relationships. You know, we all have so many different roles that we play. Like, for me, a daughter, a sister, a student, a teacher. You know, I have all these different roles, and sometimes we have to give and take in them. But you want to try not to do that a whole lot. Like, for instance, a friend called me one night as I was about to head to bed, and he was like, there's been something on my mind, and I was hoping I could talk to you. And at that point, I had already said goodnight to my parents, and I was upstairs, and I was like, okay, like, wait for my parents to, like, fall asleep, like, wait for them to go downstairs or something, and then I can call you. And in that instant, I was like, well, if they come upstairs, they're going to be wondering what I'm doing. They're going to get upset. They're going to wonder what I'm doing. And that doesn't help our relationship, you know? Like, I'm already a teenager, moody teenager who my parents don't understand. I don't need to make that worse. So in that moment, I went down to my dad and I was like, Dad, my friend called. He wants to talk. Can I talk to him? And surprisingly, my dad said yes, because he believed the same thing. He was like, if your friend calls you, they need help, help them. And so I think the more that we talk to people and the more that we stay truthful and we make sure all our relationships align, it's only better for all of us.
And going back to what I said about doing what's right for you, like I said earlier, our brains are designed to understand this stuff inherently. And so often you'll find that what's right for you includes helping your friends. And that's because that's a big part of just our daily life, is the way our friends are feeling and making sure that they're okay.
Our relationships make us happy because we're inherently social creatures. At the end of the day, like one of our teachers told us, if you aren't happy and healthy, then there's no point.
So you mentioned earlier, when someone comes to you, regardless of whether they're your friend, you should help them out because, first of all, just as a human being, they deserve that support. And second of all, you never know when that can come back to benefit you. And I think that's one of the reasons, at least personally, why I was so open to starting this podcast, because I feel like it's really an opportunity to give people a place where they can find that support and just talk to people and listen to other people talking about things that are maybe very relatable to them and things that are meaningful to them. And just a way to kind of reiterate that we're all having the same experience, even though our individual lives may differ dramatically. We're all teenagers in the 21st century, and we all have that connection, and we can all be there for each other. That's it for our show this week. But before we go, we need your help.
This show is based on listener stories, and we need yours if we're going to continue making episodes.
If you have something to share, please send it using contact information in the show notes.
Even if you don't think your life is interesting, just reach out and start talking.
If there's an episode that can be made based on what you send us, we will find and make that episode.
And we'll give you a chance to listen to the edited version before making an episode based on it, so you'll be able to make sure that the final version of your story is true to what you wanted to say.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon.
Until then, stay human.
The Human Equation is written, hosted, and produced by Benjamin and Darshini. Special thanks to Tess for sending us her story. You can find contact information and instructions for submitting your own story in the show notes.
What font is this?
This is the transcript font.
Why?
I love this font for transcripts. Okay.